I just noticed that this is on. I sort of felt like I got it wrong when I initially reflected back to her what I was hearing her say, but then she said that she realized that, yeah, that was what she said, but not really what she meant. Wow. And then so she clarified it. And so it was kind of instructive, because it was like, oh, you just have to kind of trust that you do the best you can. And then if you get it wrong, mm-hmm. that they will correct you. Not that you have to get it right. Because I felt like, oh, I wasn't listening right.
Oh, because she said, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
Bad listener.
So, like, initially I felt like, oh, I'm not doing this right. But then I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe I am, because she corrected it. So.
Yeah. Well, one of the lessons in this is that it's about our intention. And so the fact that we made a mistake about understanding, it may not even be a mistake, as you illustrated. But what was it like for you when she had it a little off?
It made me look at, I asked myself, oh, that is what I said. I asked myself, well, yeah, that is what I said, but what did I actually mean? So I had to really look at, oh, what is my concern?
You are a superstar here. In a meeting group, for example, it seems to me really important that people be able to have that chance to reflect on what they meant. And if it's not right, have a chance to think about it more deeply for themselves. Also, what happened when you got it wrong? What did you think? You said,
I immediately sort of judged myself, failed in some way. And
how was that?
Well, it was kind of like, well, don't react. I mean, I had to sort of tell myself, like, this doesn't mean that you're bad. Just give it a minute and maybe it'll work out. And then she clarified, and then I said something, and she maybe felt more heard then. And yeah, so.
So you were able to manage the noise. Remember we talked about noise? So the noise here was, oh, I'm bad. Oh, I can't listen. And being able to manage and bring yourself back to why you're there. And the more quickly you can do that, and you know, that was beautiful, the forgiving of yourself. And yeah, just remember, that could be a guideline for yourselves. You know, you don't have to do it perfectly, ever. Other comments, questions?
Hi. Is it on? I find that exercise very challenging. Because I am in this exercise that I really have to give it a full attention. And while I was giving it a full attention, at the same time on my head, I was thinking, wow, if this is so much work now, just think of how I do it this outside. Because, you know, all of this noise that you have on your head and you're looking at your iPod and this and that. And then to summarize what the other person is trying to tell you. And half of the time, there's the judging mind. And I go, wow. In that 3 minutes, I felt like I was really, it was really challenging. Yeah. But then when my partner was saying that I was really a good listener, I was just like, whoof. But I didn't really realize how much effort it takes to really listen actively. Mm-hmm. So
We don't listen. We listen inside our own heads until they finally hush and we can hop in and say what it is we've been wanting to say all along.
Exactly.
And so you really saw that that's what happens, and that is what mostly we do, that we call listening. We're just being quiet, but we're listening internally, not out there.
We're waiting for the next thing we need to say, right? Oh, this question's distracting me from what I wanted to say. Or we're listening for making our point. That's why it is so precious when we do it, is because it's so rare. And it's so rare because it's so hard. And unless we take the step of demonstrating what we know, believe me, we are lazy at it, because it's a lot easier to shake our head and say, I understand. Yes?
The most difficult thing that I had with the exercise is that it's not what you typically do in your normal conversation. sensation. Yeah. It's kind of like the knuckle thing all over again.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, for me, it was just difficult in that sense. It was a different feeling of the conversation, and I love conversation. So that's the difficulty that I had. It was something that you're learning, and therefore it was harder.
That's wonderful learning for you, because it tells you that available to you, I would say that it is the most, by far the most powerful ability in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so cultivate it.
Yeah. No, I love conversation typically because I can learn a lot more from someone else than I certainly already have in my head.
And it's not appropriate in all conversations or necessary.
Yeah.
If I'm just hanging out with my friends and we're chatting about the 49ers or the Giants, you know, for me to reframe back and say, wow, it sounds like you were really excited when the Giants won the World Series, instead of, you know, let's have another beer or whatever. Yes, yes. But in conversations that matter, when we're facilitating our group, or when we're with our children, or our mothers, or our friends, and they're hurting, practicing this is, as Dana said, the greatest gift we can give someone in that situation. It is the ultimate wise speech.
It's a gift.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, well, there are two more, and then I think we'll get into our exercise.
Something curious happened in our twosome. I was talking about what to do with the disruptive person that, you know, talked too long and went off on the tangent, and I was aware that I, in that situation, I'm sort of annoyed and I don't know what to do. But my partner picked up something. He said, "Oh, you feel like you could use some support in that situation." And it was like a shock to me. I didn't know, but it was exactly what I felt like. I was out on this limb by myself and didn't know what to do. And it came as a surprise to me, but it was spot on.
Wonderful. So an insight that you got.
Yeah.
Let me and just distinguish.
So, yeah. So I think there's something in your tone and your body language or the way you're being about it that can be picked up by the other person, in addition to what you say.
In addition to the feeling, but there's a piece of it that you can intuit that hasn't been said.
Yeah.
I want to just mention that empathy is a very complicated skill. I told you how long I studied it, and I wrote an article. If you want me to send it to you, just put a little check mark if you put your name down on the list, and I will. But I talk about the different forms of empathy, and what you just described is what I've been describing as interchangeable empathy. It's where I'm trying to stay with you on the level that you are and not add anything. That's additive empathy. If you didn't say it and it wasn't sort of expressed as an emotion, but it was something that you intuited, right? And so you added to it, and there are some things to know about that are really helpful, and it can also be problematic if you don't have a relationship that supports that kind of sharing of your intuition. And it can, you know, in this case, it was very helpful to you. I just want to point out that it's a different level, and you can read all about it. This article is more than you ever wanted to know about empathy, I have to say. But anyway, it's also helpful in a relationship where, you know, you share things and have that understanding that if you have an insight, I want to hear it, or an agreement with people if you have an insight. And some teaching relationships are like that. It's just different from what we were doing, but it's really helpful. Okay, and one more. We had right behind there.
Yeah, sort of following up similarly, I guess what came up for me, which was less about the attunement process that just sort of happened here, which I think we did, but it was more thinking of a skill, I guess, in terms of thinking. There's one thing about like attunement one-on-one with a person and trying to meet them where they're at or being empathetic, like we've been demonstrated here. But then there's also like the balance of the group dynamics kind of thing, and like how to sort of reframe one person's maybe going off on a tangent and not, you don't want to be caught on your certainty kind of thing of how things need to go, But then at the same time, you don't want to get, I don't want to get like hijacked off too long on something. And so I guess I just don't necessarily know how to work with that, if that makes sense.
I, she was actually a plant, because this is a great segue into our next part of the work. And so what we're moving on to now, and you're going to be the first item on the list, is we're going to list the things that are problems for you, that you'd like to play with a little bit here. And so I'm going to put that, what if I call it tangents, mm-hmm. would that work? And Daniel, do you want to describe what we're going to do, or do you want me to?
Yes. Yes, I'll describe it. So we're going... We invite you right now to think of the difficult situations that you face in the group that you may have just talked about with each other, and call out, hold up your hand and name them. We are going to then get whoever named that one. We'll vote. If there are a lot, we'll vote on the ones that are the most important for us to demonstrate in the time that we have. And then whoever named that particular one, like your name is... Sarah would play that role of going off on a tangent. She's heard it so many times that she's probably get an Academy Award for doing it right now. And then either Dana or I will demonstrate dealing with that particular group.
Well, there's one step issue. Between. This was a modification.
Right. And the step between is, before Dana and I demonstrate how to deal with it, we'll ask you, what would you do? And we'll see what ideas there are. Yes, a question there?
It depends how interesting the tangent is.
Very good. So, other difficult ones. Yes?
Inattention, or inattentiveness, however you say the word. Lack of attention.
Lack of attention in the group, okay? Yes?
Psychologically needy.
Psychologically needy.
Controlling the amount of time people take.
So balancing the time
per person.
And notice what I just did with Tony. I reframed what he said slightly to clarify and to make sure we were on the same wavelength. Okay, there was another one over here. Yes, ma'am.
It's the same one. Somebody talking too much.
Talking too much. Okay. Right.
Sharing a matter of great importance and the person...
Uh-huh. So, failure of empathy, failure of connection, abrupt changing of subject. Yes, Melanie.
Self-righteousness.
Ah. Boy, these are great. Yes, Tony again.
Terms that nobody else understands.
Ah. showing off.
That's a reframe, but
trying to get in conversation with the group and not being interrupted. Does that make any sense?
So trying to dominate the conversation with the group.
There's like always a couple that dominates the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
you're trying to get into the group, into the conversation.
So it's hogging the conversation?
Is it my ego going?
Right.
Dominating.
So somebody is dominating the conversation, and you're trying to figure out how to intercede in order to direct the conversation in a more skillful way, on topic, etc.
Right. Or I'm trying to get my, opinions.
You want to make sure that your perspective gets into the conversation.
Right.
Okay. So, honey, it's somebody's dominating the conversation and I'm being silenced. I want to get... She can't get into the conversation.
Like a failure of inclusiveness or how to cultivate inclusiveness?
Yes. Okay. Good. Good.
Left her bull horn at
home. What was that?
Left her bull horn at home.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Any
others?
Others
that haven't been described? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Jacob, and then you. Jacob?
A loud, obnoxious person that refuses to pay any attention to what's going on or what the agenda is.
Cluelessness.
Have you been talking to my wife?
Elizabeth.
I think it might go with needy, but people who bring in tragedies that need to, that they want to talk about and get.
So.
Tragedies or grievance stories or
drama.
Oh, tragedies.
Drama.
Drama queens.
Or kings.
Our kings, yes. Drama royalty. Thank you. Thank you.
Drama what?
Drama royalty. Yes, Karen.
Somebody that suggests things that are like sort of out of left field, that don't, that they're kind of not on the same wavelength as the rest of the group.
So would that be cluelessness?
What is a shade, yeah. But it's off base, off
it's
topic?
Like they want to do something totally in a different direction.
Off topic.
The whole plan.
Dramatically off topic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a tangent, but it's like even more than a tangent. It's
agenda
like,
breaking.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
What?
Agenda breaking. That's a nice way to put it. Okay.
And there, there was somebody else over here, I thought. A couple more.
Right in the back.
Someone who's committed in coming every meeting, but who really doesn't seem committed to the practice.
So they're committed to coming, but they're not committed to the practice. Yes?
Sexual energies.
All right. I think we have
enough.
We're out of paper. So let's just get a show of hands, and we'll try to prioritize for the time that we have. Tangents. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That looks like a lot of hands.
A lot.
Yes, yes.
You want to say like a lot? How many?
Okay. Oh, I should.
I'll
1,
just say 10.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, that's about 10.
Okay.
Lack of attention. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7. Needy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 16. Managing time person.
Per person.
Per person.
Sharing the conversation.
Balancing
floor.
The conversation. Yes. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes.
Yeah.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 16. Abrupt change without empathy. Changing the conversation without recognizing or empathizing with the person who spoke before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Self-righteousness, 1, 2, 2. Showing off, okay, 1, 2, 2. Dominating the conversation, and it's hard to create inclusiveness.
Yeah, right.
Managing time, yeah, I think they're together. I think that's together.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can add one to the managing time.
Yes. Loud, obnoxious, clueless person. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Drama royalty.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7. Agenda breaking, ignoring the agenda. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10. Regular attender but not committed to the practice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And sexual energies. Krishna? 1, 2, 3. I assume you're voting for your own 4. Okay, 4. All right. It looks like managing time and needy we should start with. So managing time. Who would like to play the role of someone dominating a conversation without managing time.
Right here.
Right here. Mark?
What?
Mark, let's give Mark the mic back there.
All right, but before we do, just take a minute and let's just name some things that you
can
think
prepare.
Work. Yeah, while you're thinking of
while you're thinking about what you're going to do. Well, someone in the group, as I understand it, is dominating the time.
Wait, are we dominating the time or are we off on tangents?
Managing time. Managing time.
Okay.
So. So. Yeah. So someone is talking and talking and talking, and other people are not getting a chance to participate. That's the way I understand it, right? That's the issue? So what are your ideas?
I just wanted to say that I also thought that the issue was, as it was proposed for dominating conversation, not being heard, with one person wanting to join that conversation rather than just the...
That's another, yeah, that's another permutation of it.
We didn't vote on that.
Right, we didn't.
We went into the managing time.
Okay.
That's a variation. So we could do the set it up as managing time, and then we could add that little layer easily.
Yes. So ideas for how to deal with it. Yes. What do you do? Yes.
What I've done is eventually I have to interrupt the person and remind that we have only so much time and everybody remind the person that everybody needs a chance to share and that we've agreed to have this amount of time for this activity, so let's make sure everybody has a chance to share.
Great. So interrupting and reminding of time.
Okay, which, by the way, I just want to point out that some of these things go back to structuring. Remember, if you have a guideline and you have an agreement about the agenda and the time allotted and so forth, it's easier to do than if you're just making it up and saying, we don't have enough time. Right. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Other suggestions of how to deal with that? In the back.
We try it with a talking stick.
Uh-huh. Passing a talking stick, okay? And over here. And then back to Tony on your left.
Have a timekeeper.
Have a timekeeper. Excellent.
Which presumes that there's some agreement about how much time, right? Okay.
Sort of acknowledging and summarizing what he had said so far and saying it's time to bring other people to acknowledge it and
yes.
respond.
As gracefully as possible, interrupt, summarize what the person has said, name the emotion that you hear. So exactly the listening practice we've just taught, and then saying it's time to move on. Other ideas? Yes, ma'am.
Usually in a group, I start with the structuring and share that after a certain amount of time, a bell, a little tincture or a bell or something, it'll just ding, and it feels softer than having to say, you need to stop.
Yes.
So a bell as a timekeeping mechanism.
Right, timekeeping with the
yes.
bell, but having that be part of the structure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in setting up the meeting, in structuring the meeting, this is a terrific example of what structuring a meeting is. Here are the guidelines for the meeting. Everybody's going to have a certain amount of time to share. We've got a timer or a bell or whatever we have, who's the timekeeper, and that bell will go off. Over here, Julia.
Thank you. I sometimes I'm explicit, and I say I notice there are one or two people in the group who've had the opportunity to share quite a bit, and I'm also noticing that there are two or three people who might not have contributed yet, so I'd just like to take this time to pause and make space for others who have not yet spoken to raise their hand and comment or contribute.
Beautiful.
Okay, so in mediation parlance, training parlance, we call that being transparent. This is what I see. And taking leadership to propose a different or to create a different situation.
And that takes some courage to do, doesn't it, Julia?
Yep.
Sort of have to take a breath and be mindful and be aware before doing that, what kind of energy am I getting ready to put out there?
I'd like to demonstrate this a minute, and maybe you just did it. basically. But I went to just sort of have some intentions in mind, and I want to do the same thing and see if you can name what that, what those are, and talk about what that impact is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, you've had a chance to speak about 3 times now. I think it's probably somebody else's turn. How'd I do? What was my mindset going into
Shut
that?
Up. Blaming.
Yeah.
And how did you feel?
Blaming. Wrong. Bad and wrong.
You didn't really care. She is.
Equanimous.
Exactly. What a balance. Okay. I see that you have a lot to say, but I think it's maybe we could have somebody else talk now.
Better,
but what else?
Apprehensive.
Yeah. Apologetic. Yeah. And what is that?
And kind of a weak thing. If the other person's got a strong energy, it's mm-hmm. it's a certain showing a certain weak.
Daniel's yes. guy wouldn't have heard me, would he? Right. Okay, it all really comes from the intention, and meeting that person in a way.
Yeah. And also what that person said about like summarizing and sort of affirming what the person is saying so they feel heard. Like if you just came up to me and said, you've talked enough, somebody else needs to talk, I wouldn't feel like I'd been heard, you know.
Yes. I just dismissed you, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one of the all-powerful, important applications of empathy. Because people sometimes keep saying things because they don't, over and over, because they don't think you understand them. Try it when you're in a fight with your spouse or your parent or your kid sometimes, some disagreement that you're having. Just empathizing with them can stop that sort of increasingly intense expression of whatever it is that they keep saying over and over.
And this is a reminder that facilitating a group is the best practice that we have. We have to be mindful of our internal conversation. We have to be mindful of the external conversation, mindful of our own body energy, because I could get into my head and not be aware that I've tensed up so that when I go to stop Rita, it's this kind of sharp energy. So I need to be aware of my body, aware of my breathing, aware of my internal conversation, and aware of the conversation out there, and aware of their bodies, how they are, how tense they are, how relaxed they are, how distracted they are, so that when I speak and intervene, I come from as mindful a place as I can. It's the great gift of facilitating. It is a strong practice.
So effectively, your goal is to connect with as many people at the same time.
Yes.
So be not only empathetic, but be likable to begin with.
To kind of have that aura where you not only are empathizing, but you're understanding and maybe interpreting what they're saying and engaging.
Yes.
Okay.
And remembering the wise livelihood aspect of facilitating, of being in development. So I must give myself the space to screw it up and say, oh, wow, I'm sorry, Karen, I really didn't come off the way I wanted to come off. Could I try that again? Do-overs are allowed. And they demonstrate, exactly, they demonstrate my humanity, they demonstrate my courage, and they start to model a way of being in a group that will shift the dynamics of your group over time.
I just wanted to say something about, we all have different needs for safety and challenge in our learning experiences. And one of the things as a facilitator, a teacher or a participant in the group, really, is having a sensitivity about what it is that will support each individual person's learning. Daniel can be very direct and very sharp in his teaching.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. You know, if the person has emotionally hired him, and if this person is one who needs to be challenged and addressed that way for their learning, and there are other people who need much more of a safety, and that's not a judgment about who's stronger or weaker or anything like that, but being aware that you're creating both for the individual and in the room, you know, a container that's really going to help people get to the next step. I mean, that's assuming that you're a teacher, basically. So it may not, as just facilitating a PTA meeting, it's not the same thing. Although people do have a different threshold for being spoken to directly in these situations.
So another one of them, perhaps?
Yeah. Great.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is just sort of being a little specific, but like when we have like a time limit or we're talking about structure, like literally, like what would I say? Like you're starting a group and I'm anticipating that sometime down the road someone will come in and talk too much. They might not be there yet, you know, but I just don't know the language, I guess. So like how do I start off the group that way, or how do I, when it starts to be a problem, to say, you know what, I'm going to start ringing the bell and it might interrupt you. Like, I'm just curious about the...
Like, I'm sorry, I'm
being explicit.
Yes.
So you want to know, and we didn't teach structuring as a communication skill.
Yes.
And so that this is a perfect opportunity.
It's on page 5.
You are just really doing a good job.
It's on page 5 of your handouts.
Keeping us on track.
And before Dana goes there, look, also, remember on page 3, there are sample learning guidelines. And that's a place that you might put something about time, if that's a problem in the group.
Well, let's say
and
that
get people to buy into that.
Well, let's say that this is a problem. You anticipate it's happened before. And the components of structuring are that you're clear about you're clear about purpose of whatever it is that you're needing to structure, and you're also clear about the roles of each person and so on. But one of the things that will really help you here is rationale, and let me demonstrate this. So tonight we're here from 4 to 5, and these are the things that are on the agenda, and I'm proposing that we limit the time that each person speaks to 3 minutes because we have a lot of things to get through, and I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity. Or another, you can recommend a guideline. And does that sound like that would work for everybody?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we'll use a bell. Another thing you could say is, I noticed in the last meeting that there were 5 people who spoke pretty much, you know, and 3 people who were silent. And so what I'd like to do is propose a guideline where you speak, but you don't speak a second time until everybody has had a chance to speak, and then you can ask, you know, if that would be okay for you to speak a second. So those are things that you can do, but give a rationale. Right. There's a time limit. We want to respect. We want a broad perspective on this issue, whatever it is. I also, at Stanford, I had people start at the beginning and try to decide, make an intention for the way they wanted to participate. And I suggested if you're one who moves forward easily, maybe hold back. And if you're one who doesn't ever go forward easily, I propose that you stretch yourself. So think about how you want to participate in this group. And that really made a difference. People paid attention to it.
Honey, given the time that we have, let's take these lists and just you and I give a moment of advice on some of them.
Why don't you demonstrate needy? Dealing with someone who's needy.
Okay, who wants to play needy? Tony, okay. Let's give Tony a microphone.
So just like role play? Like
yeah, yeah.
Be yourself.
Oh boy, got me on that one. Okay, so I'm not doing needy, am I?
Yes.
No, Tony's okay. Doing needy. Oh.
No, Mark
am I
is
doing
Mark.
Needy.
No, Tony said he was doing it.
He needs to do it.
Well, I just wanted to talk about how this is bringing up stuff that reminds me of what I've been going through with my wife, and it's, you know, it's just, I need to be able to talk about it a little bit because it's just on my mind, and I want to get my Buddhist practice in line with it and maybe share it with her. And what they were saying about being present is so important because my wife's not present, and it's just I'm trying to figure out how to get her to be present when I'm trying to be present with her.
So let me make sure I've got what you're saying, Tony. You're really committed to your practice, and you're here in the group wanting to learn how to use your practice at home to help you in your relationship with your wife. And I sense that you have some anxiousness about that. It's really important to you.
Well done.
Now,
go ahead. Are you all going to keep playing the role?
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So,
you just derailed me.
I have just done the listening in terms of the content and in terms of his feeling. And when, in my experience, when someone who is needy gets heard at that level, that neediness is addressed. And it will stop them as cold as Tony got stopped right there, even though we're in a role play. But it has to come from a genuine place in me.
But it may not. So could you just keep going and then see what you would do with that?
Okay.
I don't know where to go from that.
Yeah,
I'm just making this up as I go along. I'm not really attached to this.
Just repeat it.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, the rest of you guys don't love me either, so like, well. So, yeah, it just this pattern keeps coming up in my life, and I'm trying to figure out how to be mindful when nobody around me is mindful and nobody's present. And I think we can all take something out of this practice.
And you're struggling with all of that and how to deal with it. And I want to suggest something to you, Tony, if I could. One of the ways that I, in my life, learn is by watching how other people in the group handle situations that are important to me. So I wonder if there are others of you in the group who've had similar situations to what Tony has had that would like to talk about their spouse or their home or their parents.
To you.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you.
So I have heard him again, and I've then invited other people into the conversation. And how did that land for you, Tony?
That was great.
But then you're gone off on a tangent, and you've left the whole thing behind.
I'm assuming that that's the conversation that the group is wanting to have. If he's way off track and way off topic, I would do a similar thing, and I would say, let's see, Tony, if you can get part of the answer that you're seeking from our topic tonight, which is whatever it is. And I invite you, Tony, to listen to people talk about the topic for tonight and listen inside your question, because your issue is, how do I take this home and to help me with my wife? And tonight we're talking about mindfulness. So listen to how mindfulness can help you with your wife. Does that make sense to you? Are you willing to do that? So take it back to whatever the topic is.
Okay, so where are we?
So the abrupt change empathy. The abrupt change without empathy, there's a guideline that I often use in a group that is very helpful, especially if it's a small group or any size group, really. Before Flavia gets to speak, I have just spoken. Before Flavia, it's now Flavia's turn to speak. Flavia, thank you. Flavia's turn to speak. Flavia must, by the learning community guidelines, must repeat something of what I said. Acknowledge something of what I said, even if it's just a brief sentence. And that's the ground rule for everyone in the group. You're going around the circle. That increases people listening to the person that's just speaking so that they're not off in their heads planning what they're going to say. And it also makes certain that when you have someone who has a tendency to hop right in and take the conversation off in a weird direction, you can simply remind them, and, oh, thank you, Julia. That is, Julie, that's such a nice point, but would you remember our guideline that Brad was just speaking? Please acknowledge something about what Brad said before you start this new train of conversation.
There are some other, should we do the agenda breaking? Because sure. That was a big one.
That's,
so, agenda breaking, first of all, have an agenda. So that, you know, that would be number one. And what would you do with someone who's off topic in that way, that started a whole new thing?
Take a poll. Take a poll on the topic.
Okay.
Just have everybody else interact a little bit and maybe bring it back to the topic that you
want. Take a poll on...
In other words, take an opinion poll at that point. Once someone just goes way off topic, then just say, now how many people really have had this problem with empathy or whatever the topic is?
So what would... You're shaking your head.
She doesn't like me.
Is it personal? No. So what you're saying, you know, that if you can see where the rest of the group is, yeah, then it might bring things back. And you said that's
a
problem.
It just seems like it's pointing a finger at somebody. You know, you're doing it wrong and we need to do it right now.
So one of the things to be really clear about is that in the process of managing the agenda or any of these other things, is to be kind. Right? And not to somehow embarrass someone. And what you're saying is that when you take a vote, it might embarrass them. Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
I was just going to say, I haven't led a group, but one of my teachers, and it was a teacher, not necessarily a group facilitator. I'm loud enough, I so don't need a microphone. that I really appreciated because it was someone who talked a lot and took over the conversation a lot about their traumas and whatnot, is that he was able to really empathize with them for a moment and feel what they were saying and then say, I would love to talk with you about this afterwards. And I noticed that he did actually talk to them after our sitting. And that, I felt, was powerful for that person.
Yeah, a real leadership role. And knowing when you're teaching to the room,
right,
and when you need to teach just to the individual as opposed to doing both. But thank you. Going back to the agenda thing, one of the things you can do is just defer. You know, that it's clear that we need to handle that subject, and it's actually number 5 on the agenda. Is there a reason why we need to do it now? And let's hear about it, and we'll see if that makes sense. Because you can deviate. It's not about rigidity. It's flexibility is great, and they may actually have a good reason. So you think now we should talk about this instead of down the road 3 items, and is that right? And they can say, oh, wait, no, I know we're getting to that. Or, yes, I think it's really important because blah, blah, blah. And then we can take the group's sort of view of things, yes.
And then another skill is simply to, especially if you're somebody's keeping notes or you have an easel pad like this, another skill is simply to say, oh, thank you very much for bringing up that issue. That sounds important. We're going to put it here in our bin of items to be talked about and to decide how we're going to talk about them later, and let's come right back to the agenda. So somebody in the back there?
I've been in situations before here at Spirit Rock, even a couple times, where the leader has incredibly skillfully and compassionately not, like, taken a poll in a bad way to call the person out, but sort of said, oh, well, that's interesting. It's a little bit, not so much off topic, but a little bit off topic of what we were going to be talking about. How does it seem, and the person's so wise and so skillful, but kind of does a little bit of a poll, sort of like, what do you guys think? Shall we go off in this direction? Does that sound good? But what tends to happen is, like, maybe 5 people out of the group of, say, about this size will kind of be like, yeah. And then you kind of feel guilty. You're not going to say no if it's the teacher's idea, basically. And then we often talk about what that, you know, it go off in that sort of tangent. And I find that it was almost the opposite. Like, the poll can kind of be done in a really nice way, but when you really only listen to sort of the 5 people who happen to shake their head and look enthusiastic, you really don't know what the rest of the group thinks.
That's right. You know? Very good. Yes.
Well, and back, this is also back to a rationale. So that's a, that topic is a compelling topic. It's not what we had agreed to talk about when we came here or what we advertised that we were going to talk about. So I'm going to just suggest that we think about another program in which we could address that. Thanks for the idea. But, you know, that would be another way to do it.
So the other two up there that I'm seeing sort of similar, loud, obnoxious, but clueless about it, and the drama royalty are related. The people who are trying to dominate the conversation in a way that is inappropriate. Ideas about dealing with those types. I think we're getting tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think there's a little different one. I think there are some different interventions that you can do here. And one is, if this is someone that's repeatedly doing this in the group, is not trying to deal with it in the group. We haven't really talked about that. But how to have a conversation apart from the group to be able to talk about it. And giving feedback is a whole different sort of topic, or feed forward, I guess. How that's another way of saying it. But it's just to say what you see, and to say what your concern is, and say, you know, I'm sure your intention isn't to take us off topic, but it looks to me like that's what is happening. So it's having a difficult conversation with them and eliciting their own ideas about how they can feel like they're getting their ideas across in a way that works for the group, and working with them privately.
And I would start a conversation like with someone like that by going up after the group and asking if they would meet me sometime, if they would like to talk to me privately. And then when I sat down with them, I would begin by asking them, what's the group like for you? How are you feeling about your participation in the group? How do you feel that you relate to the group and the group relates to you? So getting where they are first, and doing my listening and feedback with naming the emotions that I'm hearing, and then I would ask them, would you like some reflections from me on what I've seen? I wouldn't just offer them, I would ask. And that opens a listening for them. And then I have the opportunity to give what feedback I have, and then say, what if we, the third part would be, first I listen to them, then I ask if they would like my reflections on what I've seen, and then the third part would be, well, let's brainstorm together. How can I support you in feeling more included in the group? How can I support you in getting more out of the group? And how can you support me in my role of trying to make sure everyone feels included in the group? And we work together to come up with a solution. And often, that will be the first time a person like that has been so respected and honored and appreciated. And it will be a transformative moment for them to have that kind of respect. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Any other questions? Yes. So we'll relax and just ask final questions.
I have that same kind of situation in a group that we're a leaderless group.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't one person to have that private conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And being leaderless, you know, I wouldn't want to pit some against the one person,
mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yes.
And I have had a private conversation myself, just with differences,
mm-hmm.
but not in the group context.
Right.
So do you have any suggestions on that? Or?
Yes, but go ahead, Dana.
Well,
Do you want me to go first?
No, that's all right. No, one of the things that I think is useful in any kind of process that you're doing is to take time to talk about how it's working. And so building that into a group so that you're having everyone be able to say, what are we doing that really is contributing to our learning or whatever the purpose is? And what's happening in the group that's creating more challenges? And as long as you have that agreement that you can, and the kind of safety in that container, it's a way of what we call in negotiation, kind of going to the balcony. Instead of talking about what we're doing, we're talking about how are we doing in terms of what's going on here.
So having a process meeting.
And that can go along with an organization of the group and a leaderless group, actually building in that opportunity to give yourselves feedback and to create changes in the process that will work better. Now, you still have the problem with hurting somebody's feelings, but I think it starts with intention, which is to, you know, the intention to create a strong, more strongly functioning group, and to have, as the at the end of that conversation, have you be closer than you were before and more effective than you were before.
So that's, I think, the last thing that Dana said is so important, that we fail to talk about the process of talking in a group. And we miss the opportunity of deepening our relationship. If you and I were in an individual relationship and we had that issue and we didn't talk about it, we would probably stop our friendship after a while, just sort of drift away from each other. But on the other hand, if we had the courage to address it with each other, and we could talk our way through that difficult conversation, we would so deepen our connection by healing that rift and having the courage to speak about difficult things with each other. And so it's time, honey.
Yeah. Well, one of the things
just one last, you asked me to remind
you. Yes.
About teacher support, if it should.
Oh, right. Thank you. Yes, I will. But you were...
Oh, that's okay.
So, James Baraz, one of the teachers here at Spirit Rock that I'm sure most of you know of, has told Melanie on behalf of all the Kali Anamita group leaders that he is definitely available to provide coaching and feedback from time to time. So how would they go about seeking that help, Melanie? I guess contact...
Talking about this in the context of really difficult things that groups felt.
Yes.
They really didn't have the skills to deal with.
Good. So you would email Melanie and
Ghidra
and or Ghidra, and one of them would put you in touch with James or put you in touch with somebody else who could help you. And the important thing to know is that you're not alone in leading your groups. There's this wonderful support system at Spirit Rock to help you reach out for that support and make sure you avail yourself of it.
All right, so.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
It's been a wonderful afternoon, and it's been a long time since I've had a chance to teach with my wife, so I love every opportunity. She's so wonderful. She's the best.
Thank you all. And one of the things that we talk about in terms of concluding is appreciation. And perhaps before you leave, you could acknowledge to someone that you encountered today something that you appreciated, that they contributed to your learning in some way. And we hope that it was helpful and really, you know, want you to know how behind you we are in terms of finding a way to grow and to learn. And if we can be helpful in that way, just let us know. You have our emails.
And you have a poem for us.
Oh, I do. And along those lines, in terms of growing and taking the next step, this is a poem by Galway Connell. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within, of self-blessing. though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and to retell it in words and touch, it is lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. So
let's take a moment right now to do that with ourselves. With your heart and with your self-compassion, appreciate yourself for bringing yourself here this afternoon, for participating however you did. Notice if there's some self-judgment that arises and acknowledge that self-judgment and practice listening and empathy for yourself and bless yourself. Bless yourself for your commitment to your practice, for your commitment to learning and developing, for your commitment to your group or to the potential of a group, your participation, your leadership. And bless yourself simply for being who you are, imperfect as we all are. Thank you very much for a wonderful afternoon.
Can I just say one thing before people leave? If there are people in Marin County who are interested in being in a group, if you want to come and see me, that would be great.
Turn right outside of the driveway.
And be sure and turn right outside the driveway.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.